Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick, and we talked about this last week in advance of a recommendation from the IOC panel, and now we've got news that golf makes the cut as IOC Executive Board recommends two sports for inclusion into the 2016 Olympic Games. Golf is now one step closer to being reinstated as an Olympic sport following the IOC committee's executive board's recommendation to add golf along with rugby to the 2016 Olympic program. The IOC's final vote will take place on October 9th at the 121st IOC session in Copenhagen, Denmark. So, Pat, it's almost a foregone conclusion. Golf is back in the Olympic Games in 2016, possibly, which will be held in Chicago.
The surprising thing for me on this, Russ, is I saw a couple interviews on this, and one of the guys who's familiar with the situation said that golf, like, only got, they go through stages of voting. I guess it's like Hall of Fame voting, where you vote, you know, one time, and then if guys get a certain amount of percentage, then they go to the next stage or whatever. On the first go around, golf only got like one vote out of the committee, which is really surprising to me, considering its international appeal and the fact that it was a sport in the Olympics at the turn of the century and has just gained so much in global appeal. But then after successive votes, it kept getting more and more votes and ended up, like you said, with seven-man rugby, which I don't get that one at all.
But, no scrums.
But anyway, I'm glad to see it's on the schedule. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Tiger said that he's indicated that he's interested in playing.
He'll be 40. He'll be 40 years old.
But the interesting thing is, again, a lot of the Europeans that I saw interviewed at the PGA are much more enamored with getting a gold medal. Even one guy, I forget who it was, they asked him, would you rather have a green jacket or a gold medal? And he's like, that's a tough question. And he took the gold medal.
I think it was Paul Casey.
It might have been. I was like, what?
You know, there was a special on Golf Channel last week. Rich Lerner was the mediator, and Ty Votaw was on along with Paul Casey. And one more individual, I can't remember who it was right off the top of my head, but they were talking to Paul Casey, getting the player's perspective, and that's exactly right. He was asked point blank. Now, he's an Englishman, so they asked him claret jug or gold medal, and he said claret jug because he grew up in England. But they said, all right, well, how about one of the other majors? How about a green jacket or a gold medal? And he said, oh, that's a tough one. So that surprises. That really does surprise me.
I mean, again, getting a gold medal is something really, you know, because you can only have a chance once out of every 4 years, and there is a ton of pressure on you to do it. But I still don't view that in the same, especially if you're a professional getting a gold medal in something. I don't equate the same luster with that as opposed to like a Michael Phelps getting seven of them as an amateur, you know, getting gold medals. But anyway, I think it's great for the sport. I think it'll give a lot of notoriety. The real key, and we've said this multiple shows, Russ, is getting the right format. Is it a team event? Is it individual? Is it match play? Whatever it is, I think they really have to make sure the format is correct so you don't overlap with the Ryder Cup or President's Cup and don't make it just another run-of-the-mill stroke play event. So getting whatever the format is, I think, will be key. And then obviously the venue where they have it will also be key. But I think it'll be a lot. I think it'll be a lot of interest, and I think it'll be a fun event to watch.
You know, I thought softball and baseball had a chance to be perhaps one of these two sports included, but now that I look back on it, it makes sense that they weren't. Primarily from this point of view, they're single sex sports. Softball is only a women's sport, and baseball is only a man's sport. So if you include both of those, you know, if you include one of them, you're only getting half of the athletes. Rugby and golf are both multi-sex sports. Women and men will both be competing in both of these sports. So golf and rugby were the two sports that have been recommended by the IOC's committee executive boards. And the final vote is October 9th in Copenhagen, Denmark. Golf, last time it was part of the Olympics was 1904. So it's been over 100 years. And back then, only the U.S. and Canada, they were the only two competing nations. That kind of surprises me that Scotland or Ireland weren't competing, considering that's where golf was founded.
Yeah, it is kind of bizarre. I guess hockey wasn't in at the time, so the Canadians had to have some kind of stick sport.
There's a lot of Canadians. Canadians are big-time golf fans. Obviously, the golf season in Canada only runs about 7 or 8 months, but they are out there in full force for those 7 or 8 months. All right, topic number two in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, and it's CBS. CBS might be the only outfit hotter than Tiger Woods over the last few months. Of Tiger's five victories this year on the PGA Tour, four of them were on CBS, and all four of those broadcasts had triple-digit Sunday ratings bumps. The final round of the Bridgestone Invitational pulled a 4.7 rating, up 104% from last year's broadcast. CBS also has, of course, coverage of this weekend's PGA Championship, looking like Tiger will notch his sixth victory of the year, which would be five of those six victories on CBS. So, Pat, I ask you, does CBS have an advantage considering they broadcast many of the tournaments Tiger plays in and, of course, wins? And should the PGA Tour be charging more for the broadcast rights for tournaments that Tiger regularly tees it up in?
I'm surprised they don't. Obviously, there is a huge ratings advantage. Anytime Tiger tees it up, you pretty much know he's going to be in the mix at the end. He's got unbelievable appeal across all ages, sexes, races, everything. It's just the Buick Open a couple weeks ago that he was in, the ratings were up over like 200% or something ridiculous than the year before when he didn't play. The interesting thing about this, Russ, is, Tiger's never really come out and said it, but, like when Greg Norman was proposing, like the World Golf, basically the World Golf Association type concept, and immediately got kind of squashed by the PGA. If Tiger proposed something like that, guess what? The PGA Tour would be in trouble. I mean, with the exception of the four majors, if Tiger said, I'm gonna have my own 10 event tour, and guess what? It would be very difficult for guys to say, oh, I'm not going to play in a Tiger because I have obligations at the PGA Tour. I think you'd find a network in a split second to cover those events, and you'd have players, pretty much any player you wanted, playing in that event, and he could probably get great purses for it. If Tiger really wanted to do something like that, I think he could do it in a heartbeat.
You're exactly right, Pat. There have been some articles over the last few years about a Tiger World Tour. What would happen if Tiger decided to go out on his own? What would happen would be the money would follow Tiger because the Tiger brings the ratings. So the network, you're exactly right. The networks would follow Tiger, and Tiger's tour would probably have top billing over whatever would be left of the PGA Tour. Now, to Tiger's credit, he realizes that it behooves him to remain with the PGA Tour, and I don't know that he's ever thought about going out on his own, but I don't think he ever would because he realizes his membership on the PGA Tour is not only good for the tour, but it's good for him. It'd be good for him either way, but it's good for the tour that he's a member there, and it's also good for the game of golf and for the growing of the game of golf that he is a member of the PGA Tour.
Absolutely, but with the exception of records and things that Tiger is comparing himself to, and that that's really what his goal is, to have the most wins, most majors. With that exception, there is no real reason for him just to be playing on the PGA Tour. Well, he could start his own tour.
You figure most players play on the PGA Tour and try to get a lot of tournaments under their belt to get into tournaments each and every year. Tiger's already exempt into pretty much any tournament on tour because he's won it. Any tournament that has either a lifetime exemption or, as with the British Open and the Masters, an age limit of 64, the Masters, I guess, you could play as long as you want, but you're encouraged to not play anymore after about age 65. But the British Open, the age limit was changed a couple of years ago from 65 to 60. There's talk that the RNA might move that back up to 65, considering what we've seen the last couple of years from oldies but goodies, Greg Norman and Tom Watson. But, Tiger is already exempt into pretty much any tournament he wants to play in because he's a former champion in that event. So he doesn't need to play tournaments on the PGA Tour to gain FedEx Cup points or to gain world rankings points to get into tournaments. He's already in whatever he wants to play in.
Yeah, I think the tour is very lucky that Tiger kind of gets it and is not a real rebel or anything like that, because if he wanted to, he could start his own tour, and I think it would be hugely successful, and the rest of the PGA Tour would be relegated to nationwide status.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, as we are entrenched in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. As you can hear in the background, the wind is starting to howl here at Dye Preserve Golf Club in Jupiter, and
I'm shooting for a top 25 now, right?
Yeah, your hopes to break 70 have now turned to hoping to break 80.
That's right.
So it's going to be a blustery day out here in Jupiter for the final round of the mid-amateur stroke play. Okay, topic number three. Total prize money on the PGA Tour dropping this year for the first time since the 70s. Official total prize money on the PGA Tour and the four majors will drop by nearly $4 million this year, marking the first year-over-year decrease since Gerald Ford was in the White House. Now, here's the caveat, though. This year, 47 official money events with approximately $275 million, down from approximately $279 million last year for 48 events. So the real story here is there's one less event on the PGA Tour this year, 48 last year, down to 47 this year. So that obviously, to me, that explains the $4 million discrepancy. The last time purses dropped was from 74 to 75 when total prize money fell from $8.2 million to $7.9 million. Now $8 million is like the purse for like the Players' Championship for one total tournament. Look at that. In 30-plus years on the PGA Tour, total prize money has gone from $8 million to $275 million. To me, that's more the headline of this story, not the total prize money is dropping for the first time. The story to me is total prize money on the PGA Tour in the last 35 years has gone from $8 million to $275 million.
That's funny, Rusty. You mentioned those 2 years there, this year and 74, 75. At really the height of Nicklaus's game, and we're at the height of Tiger's game right now, but it shows you how powerful the economy is, because the economy in 74, 75 was horrendous. We had inflation and everything else, and obviously going through a recession right now. How that affects business, regardless almost of the people that are part of that business. And in those two cases, you had probably the two best players of all time playing, and still the economy overshadowed what they were able to do in terms of getting purses or keeping tournaments and stuff like that. I agree with you. This is just a slight aberration, but the fact that it's remaining basically the same in this era of Tiger shows you that companies like Buick, even with Tiger as one of their spokesmen for, up until this year, weren't able to sustain themselves because of other factors. But, even having that tie-in with Tiger is not enough to keep Buick, really afloat in terms of being able to sponsor golf tournaments. So I'm not surprised by it, but
right.
It's just interesting in an era with Tiger in it that the PGA Tour is taking a little bit of a slump.
You know, it speaks well for the PGA Tour, the strength of the tour, that in a down economy, we are in a recession. We've been in one for about the last year, and we've been in a down economy for probably the last 3 or 4 years. It speaks highly of the strength of the tour that they've only lost one tournament. They've gone from 48 last year total down to just 47 total this year, and they've only lost $4 million. I have no doubt in my mind that if the economy were healthy and good, they would have gained tournaments and added more prize money. But the fact that they've lost just one tournament and only $4 million is good. It's a positive. Of course, the PGA Tour has lost a couple events from last year, the AT&T tournament, which used to be held in Atlanta at Sugarloaf, as well as the Ginn tournament, which last year was held in Hammock Beach. Last year was held in Hammock Beach. 2 years ago, it was held in Port St.
Right.
Lucie, and they lost that this year. So PGA Tour is strong. Of course, they've got Tiger Woods, so as long as Tiger's on the tour, they will continue to be strong. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And our fourth and final topic, kind of a fun topic, a lighthearted note regarding good friend of the program, the King, Arnold Palmer. Arnold's joined us numerous times in the past, I think 3 or 4 times over the years, including the week before the Masters this year. About 5 months ago, he joined us the week before the Masters to talk about his 4 green jackets. And the King is going to turn 80, believe it or not. Arnold Palmer will be turning 80 years of age on September 10th. And there are a bunch of parties and events that are going to be held leading up to his birthday to celebrate Arnold Palmer, one of the greatest in the game of golf that it has ever seen. Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer is going to present Arnold with the key to the city of Orlando on September 4th. The Pittsburgh Pirates will host Arnold Palmer Bobblehead Night at PNC Park on September 8th, where Arnie is going to throw out the first pitch. And then the next day at Laurel Valley Golf Club, they're going to host a golf outing and dinner for Arnold the day before he turns 80. Palmer will celebrate his 80th birthday in a private party on September 10th, his actual birthday, in his hometown of La Trobe, Pennsylvania.
I don't know if Arner wants to have his name associated with the Pittsburgh Pirates, but right. But anyway, yeah, I mean, as I mentioned a couple times, been very lucky to have met Arnold a couple times in my life, and he pretty much is what you see, that you know what you kind of imagine he would be in person, seeing him on TV and stuff. That's how he is in real life. He's very, he's a good listener. He'll listen to whatever you want to talk about, golf or sports, anything, and he's just a really, he's like a down home type guy. Not pretentious or anything of that sort, and it's just a good guy to talk to. And it's surprising that Arnie's turning 80 already. I guess we're all getting older, but with the shape he's in, he could live till he's 95 very easily, Russ.
Arnie's turning 80 in September. Jack Nicklaus turning 70 next, I believe January or February. Jack was born. He has an early birthday, and he was born in 1940. So Jack turning 70 next year in 2010, Arnie turning 80 this year, and of course Gary Player is 75. So the greats of the game are really, I mean, I remember watching Jack as a 10-year-old boy at my grandfather's house in Lantana in 1986. He was only 46 at the time. Well, that was a long time ago. that was almost 25 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's scary is that I'm at that age now, and a lot of these guys who, like you're saying, you watched when you were growing up are now getting to sort of senior citizen age, and you still always view yourself like as being 20 or something. I don't know. And then all you're like, well, that was a guy I was watching growing up, and now he's retired or whatever. And it does sort of put things in perspective, but, it does give you a little bit of a way to view your life and view these guys and just say, hey, that's a way I'd like to conduct myself when I'm 80 or 70. And that's where, even though Arnold and Jack aren't playing anymore, he can still get something from them in the way they comport themselves as they get older.
So less than 1 month away from Arnold Palmer, the King, turning 80 years of age on September 10th. So, of course, we want to join in the festivities and wish Arnold Palmer, who is a very good friend of the program and has joined us, I believe, three or four times over the last 5 years on the show, wishing Arnold a happy 80th birthday. And he's been such a great person and a great ambassador for the game of golf. And that was another award-winning edition, Pat, of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it is brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.